Hi, everybody. I'm Cynthia Garrett, and welcome to The Sessions. And I hope you've been hanging around the last couple of weeks because we had one of my favorite guests drop in studio, Philippa Hannah, one of England's very own worship darlings. She's just an incredible singer-songwriter. And I love Philippa's ministry, the ministry through her song, and the ministry that she so openly shares of her life and her journey. And Christina Reynolds, who is my other favorite person, but she's a permanent fixture around here now. We love Christina, and I love Christina. And we kind of wanted to sit here and sort of chit-chat a little bit, chit-chat, I call it, a little bit, about Philippa's shows and some of the things that Philippa said, specifically about identity and social media and trying to manage who you are and figure out who you are in this world that we live in. And I often address the subject of identity, but I don't think that there are enough conversations that we can have to unwrap this particular issue. It is the greatest struggle, I think, that anybody on planet Earth goes through, is identity.
Absolutely. You know. It's so difficult. I'm thinking of when I was 18 or 16 or whatever, trying to figure out who I am. And it was so difficult back then. And then I'm thinking now, fast forward, you know, with social media and everything, with technology screaming in your face, who you are, what you should look like, who you should be, what talents you should, how big your butt should be, how right. big your boobs should be,
right.
down to like even your personality or what you do is dictated by this, like what Philippa said, this blue screen. And that to me, it makes me wonder, like, what is the struggle of 18-year-old girls these days trying to figure out who they are in the muck of all of this, you know?
I'll tell you, I think that there's a struggle for girls who are believers, but I can't even imagine how deep the struggle is for girls who are not believers because, like, I think about myself, and first of all, I'm so grateful that social media was not what it is today when I was 18. If it was, I probably would have been destroyed,
totally.
You know, like completely, because imagine what it's like to have the whole world looking in on your mistake process. You know, that's crazy in and of itself. But the flip side is, I don't think you can escape having the world try to dictate identity to you.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's funny. It's my whole first book, Prodigal Daughter, A Journey Home to Identity.
Yeah.
Because identity is found at home. Where is home? Jesus Christ. You know, but I'm so clear in my book about what I'm clear about, which is that from the time I got here, I had TV shows and movies and magazines telling me who I was supposed to be, how I was supposed to look, dress this way to please a man, don't dress that way. Ooh, the power suit. I mean, like, think about the headlines on magazines.
Insane.
It is insane. So I can, you know, now today I think about, well, is social media just a substitute for all of that?
I think it's an add-on, you know, because I mean, we've had movies going forever and I mean, because there's social media, but the thing about social media that I think is so interesting is that it isn't necessarily Kim Kardashian. It could be her, but then now it's like the girl next door who has 10,000 followers and why do I only have 50? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's almost like everyone's on the same playing field to like feed your comparison and feed your self-hatred. That's what I think of social media.
Ooh, yeah, you're right, but I think here's the weird thing. I think the problem is when you start determining your relevance through social media. Because, and I see this even with ministries. Well, how many followers do you have? How many, or you'll look at your Instagram and go, oh, I'm up to 10,000.
Yeah.
So-and-so is much bigger than me, supposedly, and only has blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And you, when you start determining relevance, by the number of likes or followers that you have, it's really, really, really damaging and dangerous. Because A, it could not be real at all.
Absolutely could not be real.
Right. Like, or B, the real thing may have zero like or affirmation. So for you as an artist, as a Christian worship artist, you're pouring your love out.
Yeah.
For Christ. I can't even imagine what it's like to then have to then turn around and you put it out there and it's like, well, my only validation measurement stick.
Or the metrics. Because then you can go into, well, it's just analytics. It's testing to see if, you know, we're proving our concept. You can get all this language around it.
Right.
But when you're pouring out your soul in like art, in an art form or expression, whatever you may be doing, and you put it for the world to see and it's either rejected or accepted, that's scary.
Well, it must be.
Yes.
You know, it must be. Do you ever fall into kind of wondering if what you're doing isn't good?
Every day. Are you kidding me? Every day. You know, I actually really had to start reevaluating. I'm in my 30s now, you know, and I'm like, I'm a grown woman. You know, I should not care what so-and-so says. Like, if the Lord clearly gave me this gifting and I'm supposed to be faithful with it, then I need to do that whether or not I ever get the testimony or the message that it touched someone. And, like, granted, I do get tons of messages, and thank God, like, he lets me know and he validates me, but I really had to figure out what does true influence look like and what is the Lord asking me, asking of me right now in my life. Yeah. And if I'm just measuring by numbers, I could, like what if I was getting 10,000 likes a day for my outfits, but the Lord never called me to be a fashion guru.
Right.
I'm going to stand before him. He's going to be like, you wasted your life.
Right.
Pleasing people with your outfits. Not that fashion gurus are bad, but for me, that's not what I'm supposed to be. So that's where I feel like identity is so important. Because if we're chasing something else, that really determines what happens when we stand before him.
Well, how do you not? You know, I look at so many young worship leaders, young Christian actors, young whatever it is, you know, whatever it is that you do creatively or in any other kind of way that causes you to put yourself out there, right? And so the metrics, you know, the measuring of how good you are or how successful you are is like this like weird arbitrary, oh, I got 10 clicks out of 10, I'm good, did a good job. Yeah. Or, oh, I got one click out of 10, I suck, didn't do a good job.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you avoid that when that is what is there.
I actually think I'm trying to change my perspective to go, hey, this is good because this is maturing me. This is really solidifying me in who I am. Now I can go, okay, so maybe they didn't like it, but these people do. And does that change who I am? No. It just means that what I was made to give, they don't need. You know, and it really does come down to knowing who you are in the Lord. And it's a wrestle, so I don't think it's supposed to be easy. I think each trial makes you stronger, makes you more confident. You mature. It's the process of maturity.
Yeah, I do have to tell you, one of the greatest things that I ever did and that we ever did as a family was to take a complete, we did a media fast. It changed our life. When we first got to Kansas, we decided to take a week as a family and no cell phones, no TV, no movies, no music, nothing unless, and I think we gave ourselves like twice during the week where if we wanted to watch something, we had to watch as a family and it had to be about the Lord. And that, it changed our lives forever. Yes. It changed our lives. My son got set on fire because of it. It literally, 1 week of turning off the noise, which honestly, I kind of want to challenge all of you watching. 1 week, just turn off the noise. 1 week, like it's nothing. It went by so fast and it was so successful that when it was over, my son actually said to me, can we do it? Let's do it again.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden we became a family.
Yeah.
We talked to each other.
Yeah.
And then you give yourself a couple Christian documentaries that you can watch as your entertainment for the week. And all of a sudden now we're talking actively about those films that we watched or those documentaries that we watched. And it changed our family dynamic.
What's actually funny is that when I've gotten sucked into the swirl of, oh, I need to check it, or, you know, or I need to check it because I need to post consistently every, whatever. And getting so sucked into that world, my husband CJ has actually often been like, if you don't get off that phone, he calls my phone at times my mistress.
Yeah.
And he's like, stop spending time with him and spend time with me. And he's actually thrown my phone out in the backyard one time in the middle of the night, just because, like, not only is it causing comparison, but it's robbing time with family or with, like, your husband or your kids or your ability to be present, you know? It pulls on your mind constantly.
Well, and I gotta tell you, that is really, 20-somethings, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you guys, you know, if you're 20-something and you're watching, you have to understand, like, as bad as we can be, I think that their generation, your generation, has it a little bit worse because now they're proficient in all of it. Mm-hmm. So, like, and you know that you guys are, because I'm like the mom that's constantly going to the 20-somethings saying, could you show me how to use my phone? Could you do this? Could you do that? But the reality is, there's... I mean, I don't understand how you guys, how they find presence. Because mm-hmm. to me, to be together at dinner or to be together in a situation and be present for each other mm-hmm. is everything. Yeah. And when you're not, you're just bodies next to each other.
Totally. And you're wasting time. I think one of, I'm so sad that it had to take a tragedy in my life to make me go, I'm not allowing anything to rob me of my time anymore. And to allow my ability to be present is because we actually lost our daughter back in 2018.
Yeah.
And like leading up to that, we were so focused. Like, it wasn't even media. It was focused on building business. And we weren't spending time with our kids. And after losing someone so precious, it was like, it wrecked us. It was like, what are we doing with our lives? Why are we wasting time not connecting, not being present with one another, cherishing every moment, getting caught up, whether it's social media or entertainment yeah. or just work,
yeah,
you know, allowing that to rob you of what little time and what precious time you have now.
Oh boy, I have to tell you too, that is a problem with human beings in general, is not, you know, not realizing how precious time is and being present really is. Because when you're sort of halfway somewhere, you're usually not really nice. For the half of you that's present mm-hmm. is not as nice. Because half of you is over here and you're stressed or you're thinking about work or you're thinking about this or you're thinking about that. So you're not all the way in mm-hmm. over here. And for me, being halfway in, it's never like great because mm-hmm. I'm not the best part of me.
Yeah.
The best part of me is not the part that's in.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Right?
Yes, no, first, are you kidding me? My husband will tell you all the time, he's like, you don't listen to me. What did I just say? I'm like,
I know.
Really
I heard you,
bad.
And you're like, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I heard you.
Yeah.
Just tell me again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And back to the identity thing, I think that robs from figuring out your identity because it takes time and intention to sit before the Lord and to try things that you love and to constantly be sucked into someone else's world just steals from that precious time that you have to grow and mature as an individual.
Yeah.
Which is why I think the whole comparison, the struggle with finding authenticity is so hard.
Oh, well, you can't find authenticity if you don't know the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really can't. Look, for us as believers, our identity is rooted in Christ. Mm-hmm. Everything good about me, I have learned in the Word of God. Everything, every great growth spurt I've ever had mm-hmm. is because I was being stretched and tested, but always with the Word of God as the thing I'm holding on to. So I know through a lot of time now that the best of me comes from the me rooted in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So my identity really is, it is now rooted in Christ. And I find it very interesting though that you can, when you do get there, you can fly around the room and maybe forget for a moment or buy into, you know, something in the world that tries to drive your identity for a minute, but you can't live there.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't live there. And I think that's why it's so important for people watching to actually understand they've got to find a way to disconnect from the external things called social media that are trying to actually define identity. Mm-hmm. And you know, I say social media and I also include books and magazines and movies and TV shows because I often joke about it and I say, you know, for the bulk of my life, I learned everything about relationships from a hit TV show in America called Sex and the City.
Oh my gosh. Right? I mean, I'm just saying, I watched it all through college. It's like my favorite show.
Of course.
But it's so destructive. Like, that lifestyle is so destructive when you actually live it out in real life.
Well, first of all, the show, the woman who wrote the book, I knew. She was an old friend from New York City. And the whole first of all, there was very little reality. Mm-hmm. There's this level of wealth and this level of exposure and access that's not real. And then you take that and they took it and then, then now they're gonna make a TV series about it. So then you have to take non-reality and add a little bit of entertainment, mm-hmm. which is more non-reality. And that show was run by gay men. So I was like, I spent an entire season of my life learning how to be a girl from gay men. I mean, you know, it's just, even my gay men friends were like, you know, it's not really a girl thing.
Oh my gosh. Know?
But when I think about just the insanity mm-hmm. of that,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of grounding and sobering to me yeah. because I see a lot that young people are getting mm-hmm. today. That's yeah. basically the equivalent of that.
I know. It's just natural law that I think the Lord set in place is that whatever you look at constantly or think about constantly, that's what you emulate, that's what you become, or that's what you're constantly trying to become. And so it's really dangerous what you set your mind on.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, Bob Sorge has this book that I loved. It's called Covenant of the Eyes.
I've heard of it. But
wow.
I have not read that one.
Wow. You guys, for those of you watching, Bob Sorge, Sorge, the book is called Covenant of the Eyes. Mm. You can probably pick it up anywhere online.
Yeah.
That book is so challenging because what it's about is really and truly understanding with God that you need to make a covenant with God with your eyes. What we allow into our eye gate is so destructive to our yeah. soul. And I think the biggest tool that the enemy has in the world today is mm-hmm. the visual medium.
Yeah, which is why media is so powerful. I mean, Hollywood is leading the charge and setting the standard of, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll or whatever, or like yeah. the standard of marriage, of relationships.
Well, what are we seeing? Mm-hmm. What are we seeing? What we're seeing tells us what should be, mm-hmm. you know, it makes it okay. And I think about what we're showing young people in TV shows and what have you, and it makes me really, like, I get crazy because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not you or Philippa. I can't write a song to express it. So it's just like, you know, I use my mouth in a different way, but it makes me crazy because what I realize is that we're telling lies. Mm-hmm. We're telling lies about our God. You know, we're telling lies about what our Father created for us. And our very highest and our very best is not what we're showing, mm-hmm. you know, in our TV shows and our magazines and our, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the greatest dialogue going on right, you know, in the world today. What President Trump tweeted or which side of Brexit you're on. Okay. So from just that now, forget what your eyes are seeing about all of that, what you're hearing. Mm-hmm. Another way to pollute your soul.
Yeah,
what are you listening to? If that's all you're listening to, whoa.
Yes.
Problem. Problem.
Yes. I mean, I think some of the most influential things are music and visual, what you see and what you listen to. But put to music is very powerful. Yeah. I mean, the power of music is insane, what it can do to a person.
Yeah.
In the same way.
Well, so. Well, what do you, you know, Nikki is what, 4?
Yes.
Nikki's 4, Christina's daughter. So if you have to, like, do you ever sit down and think, okay, what are the 3 takeaways I want her to have from me as a mom?
Oh, my goodness.
Like, what do you want her to think about her identity?
Yes. Well, for one, I want her to, like, love God and know that she is loved by him. Because I think everything comes down to that. Everything will flow from that. Once you get that confidence, you know that you're fully known, which is why I love that tour that Philippa's doing, fully known and fully loved and accepted. Everything else you don't have to worry about. Because then if someone's trying to put a label on you, you're like, no, I already know. I know that, you know, right. The confidence comes, the freedom to dream and to go after what you were made for. It comes when you know you're solidified in the love of God. And
so good.
So 3, that 2, that she can be strong, that she can go after whatever she wants and she can accomplish it. But the biggest thing is I just want her to love Jesus and know that she's loved.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah, no, I know. It's funny because it was that simple for me with Christian, my son, when he was like 14. I was just like, God, I just want him to know you and love you mm-hmm. and to know that you love him. Because if he's rooted in that, then I know that he'll be okay in this world. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, you know, for all of what I still have to grow through and what we all still have to grow through, that's the one reality. Mm-hmm. That is, it's the saving grace. It's like, you know, Philippa sang a bit of a song called He's Still God, mm-hmm. a couple of weeks ago now, probably, I think, depending on when you've been watching. And it's such a simple lyric, but that song is so powerful. It's like, to know that He's still God and you're mm-hmm. still loved is really, it's really that simple.
Yeah.
A lot of times it just boils down to that, mm-hmm. you know, no matter what you're going through.
Yeah. No. Because we're all going to go through the ups and downs. And I think when I was younger, I didn't realize that life was going to be so hard, or that I didn't realize that in a moment, everything can be taken away. You know, you live in this, oh, it's going to be great. We're, you know, it's up and up from now, but you don't realize like, wow, life is really hard.
Yeah.
And that phrase of what she's saying, that song was so powerful, because I can attest to that, that just knowing that He's good
yeah.
has got me through so much.
Yeah. Yeah. And He is, you know, it's funny. Someone asked me recently, well, how do you, you know, if you're doing TV and it's on TBN and it's your Christian television, what would you do over here, you know, with a secular show? Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's the same person.
Yeah.
That doesn't change.
Yeah.
And that is, for me, having my identity that grounded where I know, like, it doesn't matter. You could put me on a game show. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to be me.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to be laughing with you and talking about the answers to whatever the game show question is, and I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's just going to come in.
Yeah.
Like, it just, you can't help it.
Yeah.
So for you guys as songwriters, could you separate, you know, because I really don't like the label Christian music.
Yeah.
It's music. Like if we would just sell things as music or as mm-hmm. movies, or it would be so much more powerful because we would be reaching so many more people. Mm-hmm. Because the second you put a label on it, the
yeah.
world kind of goes, well, but I really don't believe in their Jesus.
Yeah.
So they're not even allowing themselves mm-hmm. to step into what could be a really awesome experience
yeah.
for them of identity and love and forgiveness and all mm-hmm. these things that we know. So I don't know, you know, with your music, do you ever kind of want to throw the labels off and just be Christina Reynolds songwriter?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I mean, you've been along for this journey of mine of just wrestling with that, especially like growing up in the church and worship leading primarily, you know, but having this longing to do something else, it makes me feel like I have to have a split personality.
God.
But something that's so cool, actually, on my flight here, I was sitting next to this guy. He's like a younger, like 25 years old. It turns out he's Jewish, totally not religious. He was really talkative, so we ended up talking, and I ended up being able to tell him my testimony of being a drug addict and then getting radically saved and all this stuff. He had no clue anything about church or worship. He's like, what's a worship leader? What do you do? But what's cool is that because he could identify with, oh, you're a singer. He's like, I want to listen to your music. So I put on my music and I, like, this is clearly, I'm singing like Philippians 3.
Right.
But because it had a jazzy, he was like, what's your music sound like? I was like, well, people compare me to Norah Jones, whatever, I don't know. He listened to it and because he had no clue and wasn't like, oh, this is Christian music or whatever, he was right. like, I really like this.
Right.
He's not religious and he's Jewish.
Right.
Completely like, yeah, I don't believe in any of that stuff. But it allowed for an open door without the label.
How do we get to that? Because
I
really think that's the way that we bring identity into the world, mm-hmm. is to be able to have the open door and to take the, why should it be labeled? If it's good mm-hmm. music, it's good music. And I don't know, I think the labels can be limiting. Mm-hmm. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know, because people will say, what do you sound like? Who are you compared with? And I'm like, I actually don't know, because I like a bunch of different music and I don't know what I sound like. I just sound like me.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny. I actually don't. When I'll talk to friends of mine who are non-believers about music, I've referred numerous times to Bethel Music mm-hmm. and sent them songs. You know, from Stephanie Gretzinger or Melissa and Jonathan David Helzer. And they're like, oh, what's Bethel Music? I'm like, oh, it's like this music movement. It's really cool. You'll love it. And you have no idea how many young little Jewish girls in New York City listen to Bethel music. They don't know what it is. They just know they love the songs, and it's beautiful. It makes them feel great. Well, I believe that what God is doing is just seasoning their hearts and touching their soul, and that they're it has opened some great doors. You know, where I've had young people say to me, "God, this is really pretty. Is that about God?"
No, totally. I mean, if you think about it, music has this ability to go through your walls or break down your walls and then deposit truth, whatever that truth may be. Maybe it's a lie. I don't know. Whatever. But it has this ability to cross those lines. Whether it's even language or theology or whatever. It's got a really cool melody. It's in. You know what I mean? So learning how to wield that power, I think, is like the secret to a lot of things.
Well, that's why you see, and this is where the Christian thing's important, because the reason why you need God in learning to wield any power is because you will think the power is about you and not about God if you don't have God and understand that you submit under Him.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
What one of the things I love that Philippa Hannah did is she covered that Ed Sheeran song.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And made it a song for Jesus.
Yes.
I'm not even gonna say made it a worship song. She made it a song for Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, right? Are there any secular songs that you change into? Because I love that, because I didn't grow up having worship music.
Yeah.
So I used to sing secular love songs to God, because that was,
That's so awesome.
It's like, that's all I knew to do. You know, I was like, oh, he's God and I love him. He's my boyfriend.
That is hilarious, and so many things just popped in my head just now that I'm not gonna say.
Right.
But it's just like, Jesus is my boyfriend.
Right, but can't you, you like think of, are there songs that you've ever thought of like, wow, I'd love to just take that and own that for him?
There definitely have been. I honestly can't even think of any right now. I've been through such a journey of music. It's been a journey of pain and exhilaration. But you know, I feel like because I myself have put myself in a box, being in the realm of worship, and you know, but what does worship even mean? Like, why is it a genre? It's not a genre. It's a lifestyle. It's who I am.
Right.
You know, so I can't think of anything right now because I feel the division of it. I feel the split personality.
Okay, so then here's what we're gonna do. From now on, on this particular show, between us forever, I'm no longer going to refer to you as a worship leader. As a matter of fact, I have a hard time calling you a worship leader, and that's why I'll tend to say she's my musical side chick for Jesus, because you're like my musical girlfriend.
But
you love Jesus, but I sort of like, I don't even want to call you a worship leader, because it makes people think a thing, or and you're so outside of the box with what you do, and it's so, like, I never want to limit anybody. So, like, we have to have, like, a little thing where maybe you're just going to be Christina Reynolds, my amazing singer-songwriter.
Okay.
I think we need to break the labels. I think we
need
to start here.
Okay.
We do. I do. I think we need to break the labels. We are, you know, we're God's kids.
Yeah.
Right? We're called to do what we do wherever we go. Right?
Absolutely.
We're a church without walls.
Yeah.
Okay, so we should exist in our gifting without walls.
Absolutely.
Whoa.
Oh, hey, mic drop on that one. Whoa. You need to write that down.
We're out of time. So, like,
tweet it. Make sure you tweet it so it's immortalized.
Tweet it. So, listen, for all of you watching, break down the walls, you know, around whatever you're limiting your expression of Christ, like whatever box you're putting your love of Jesus in. I just challenge you to just get rid of it. And don't, like, use social media as a metric for how good you are. You're amazing. You're a daughter of a most high God. And I've written this a lot on social media. So hear me, you know, really hear me. You're a son, you're a daughter. He loves you. You are special. You are unique. It is your time to rise. It is your time to shine in whatever your unique gifting is, your unique expression of Christ is. So don't put God in a box. He doesn't put you in one. And if you don't know him, it's really simple. Jesus, come into my life and take over. That's the prayer. I hope you prayed it. I'm Cynthia Garrett. You've been watching The Sessions. I'll see you next week.